from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Football's back, which means we can get to some Chiefs predictions. You guys okay with that? I think we're all going to be in the same ballpark here. Bob, you go first with your regular season predictions.
All right. I've asked everybody to kind of write their script because, as we know, the league is scripted. So I want everybody to kind of write their script of how they see this Chiefs season playing out. You guys can weigh in on the text line as well at 913-586-7610. And I think what's ultimately going to happen is the Chiefs are going to have a 15-2 regular season. And those two losses are going to come at the end of the year. They're going to lose two out of their final three games because they're going to put together this great run and they're going to be like 14-0 and everybody's going to be talking about, oh my God, are they going to go undefeated? They'll drop two of their final three games and finish the regular season at 15-2 and have that first round bye. They'll advance all the way to the AFC title game at Arrowhead Stadium, where Aaron Rodgers and the Jets will be the opponent for the Kansas City Chiefs. You see what I did here? They want the Jets to be relevant. They need Aaron Rodgers to be relevant. What's going to be more relevant than Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes in an AFC championship game? You want to talk about the highest ratings that the NFL could ever see, that would be the highest rated AFC championship game, maybe the highest rated games outside the Super Bowl, Rodgers versus Mahomes at Arrowhead Stadium. Rodgers melts, Mahomes stars, the Chiefs roll the Jets by 17. They go to the Super Bowl and they face the Lions, which will be America's sweetheart team. Everybody in America will be rooting for the Lions. America. They'll be rooting against Kansas City. We'll have to hear about it all the time. The Lions, the Lions, the Lions. Nobody's rooting for the Chiefs. Kansas City wins the Super Bowl 34-10-3. That's the script that's going to play out, in my opinion, this year for Kansas City.
Tennessee Mac?
Yeah, I got 14-3, so just one game last. First round bye, they'll play the Texans in the AFC Championship game. So they're kind of setting up C.J. Stroud. Some people have some questions. Most people are in, but this will solidify him as the future in the AFC. He's the young gun. And then they'll get to the Super Bowl. They'll play the Packers, the future of the NFC. Jordan Love. Jordan Love will have a good game. The Packers will play well, but the Chiefs, of course, will overcome and win. And this will be the first playoffs where they don't have to come back in any game, let alone by 10 points. They will be up every game. They will win handedly. And it'll be that first time, okay, this is now a juggernaut. We already saw them win three Super Bowls. Now it's like, okay, everyone's petrified. And yeah, you have the future of the league and Love and Stroud solidified.
So to go back and reference yours, you say they lose two of their final three. Yeah. Their final three games are home against Houston, at Pittsburgh, at Denver.
Yeah.
Denver, maybe that's the game where they rest the starters. Right. There's a loss there. Then the other
one. And I think the Houston one maybe in you know, the day before Christmas or whatever it is, that Saturday game. Yeah.
And then Mac builds up Houston and the Chiefs, kind of like how we got built up with Cincinnati. You play them in week 16, the rematch is in the playoffs. You go back and see what happened in that game.
So I think, though, you say Houston in the AFC Championship game. I'm going to poke a hole in that one second. You got to think like the scriptwriters. We don't have many more episodes of Aaron Rodgers left in us. We've got a lot of episodes of C.J. Stroud in this.
I think we play Aaron Rodgers in division.
Okay, great. All right.
I have the Chiefs going 14-3.
All right.
Three losses, whatever. I don't know. They always lose a game they shouldn't. 14-3 is a damn good record. number one seed, first round bye. I have Mahomes winning the MVP, throwing for 50 and 5,000.
Okay.
Because why not with the new offense that they have? I think they win the Super Bowl. I think Travis Kelce proposes on the 50-yard line.
Ooh, after the Super Bowl. All right.
I think he announces his retirement.
All right.
And I then think after the Super Bowl is over, Tom Pelissero writes an article that says Xavier Worthy is thinking about retirement.
Okay.
He's done everything he can. He's won a title. He's the fastest player in the league. He's thinking about calling it quits. Sign,
yeah.
Tommy P.
I like that. Yes. But Mike Florio will have Andy Reid retiring yep. again at the end of the season. Well, he's won three in a row. He's done nothing.
We've got Florio, we got not
Pelissero. Yeah, four in a row. Four in a row, Florio. We got four in a row that we're going for right now. So, yeah, Florio already.
Yeah, Florio, not that, Sorry, Tom.
Sorry, Tom.
I like you.
But no, Florio. He will write the column that Steve Spagnuolo is going to retire. Matt Nagy is going to go live in a hut and fish, and that Andy Reid is going to walk away, and the Kansas City Chiefs will then be coached by Bozo the Clown.
And Brett Veach is simply just tired of winning and being the best, so he decides to
walk away as well to do something more challenging.
Yep.
Yeah, Brett Veach goes and runs a baseball team.
Yeah, Mike Florio will write the article that Xavier Worthy is no longer having fun. It's just too easy for him.
Correct.
Think about hanging it up.
Yeah, Chris Jones is like, I got three. I don't need another. I'm out. I'm retiring. Travis Kelce proposes, and him and Taylor live happily ever after in Leawood. And you see them at Trader Joe's on a Saturday getting ice. Like that. That's the Florio script at the end of the season. He's already preparing that now.
Oh, he's already written the article. Yeah. He just has to hit.
He just hit send. Yeah, go send Florio. Send.
And then
Clark's going to sell the team because, you know, they've just had too much success and he can't stand it anymore. Mm-hmm. So he's going to sell his father's team to the highest bidder, and they're moving it to Germany.
And Bob, you like scripts. So I did my homework for Professor Bob last night, and I feel like I probably am going to get an A on this assignment. But the script is already being written for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
For those of you that missed the news yesterday, Justin Herbert is sidelined for the next 3 to 6 weeks, 3 to 5 weeks. Probably not going to play any more preseason games. So they expect him to be ready for the opener against the Raiders because he has a foot injury.
Right.
So here's my script for the Chargers, if you're ready. The Chargers and Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh are going to have a rough year. Because this is one of those injuries, and I know that maybe this isn't as egregious as you think, but it's a foot injury that can be an aggravating injury throughout the season.
Right?
Last year it was Burrow's calf, and then it turned into his hand, and now it's his wrist. And Harbaugh, who we know is a red ass, loves to be tough. A lot of like Matheny vibes. Mm-hmm. Like we have to win every game. You have to play your hardest every game. You have to be mindful, not physically. Like it's all in your head that you're hurt. And that foot injury for Herbert is a little bit alarming because that's one of those things that, like, you literally just cannot be on it. You cannot put anything in pressure on it, or it's just going to continue to be aggravated. And there's going to be times where Herbert's going to be maybe not up to his best potential. He's going to use the injury as an excuse. It's going to be like, I can't get a good feel. And Harbaugh is going to have subtitled, comments where it's like, well, you just got to get past the injury. You got to play with your toughness and all that sort of thing. And the Chargers are going to have an in-house explosion because you're going to have your star quarterback who's not going to be 100% all season, is going to have the foot injury. You're going to have your new hired head coach who's trying to bring a new demeanor into the team, a new sort of toughness, a new two-day mentality, and it's just not going to work, and there's going to be pushing and shoving, heads butting constantly, and the Chargers are going to go 7-10, and they're going to be a disappointment once again in the NFL.
And Justin Herbert will be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys next year. I'm going to add that one in. That's going to be my little sidebar because you're right. I love the way you're thinking. See, you're learning, Dusty. You're understanding how operate, right? you're getting it. There is a script. There is a plan. There is drama because without that, it's just a football game, right? like the NFL is all about drama. It's our soap opera. And what adds to the drama, what adds to the conversation are things of that nature. And if his injury doesn't quite heal and doesn't get to where they want it to be and he doesn't have such a great year, you got a new head coach, they're going to make an announcement at the end of the year that, hey, this is not our guy. We want to make sure that Jim Harbaugh has the guy that he wants. We're trading him for 2 first-round draft picks or whatever it's going to be to the Dallas Cowboys because they're going to let Dak Prescott go after the season. That's how I see that whole thing playing out, unless Jerry gets panicked and decides to sign Dakota Prescott to a long-term deal. But if I'm Jerry Jones right now, you've held out this long with Dakota, right? You've held out this long with a marginal quarterback. Why not just go one more season, bring getting Bill Belichick down there to be your head coach, which we'll get into because I don't think Belichick's ever coaching him, but this is what Jerry wants. Bring Belichick in as your head coach, trade for Justin Herbert. Now you have become single-handedly the biggest story in the NFL. And what is Jerry Jones like? He likes to be the story. He likes to be the center of attention. Doesn't really care about winning, hasn't done it in 30 years, but he cares about being the center of attention. The modern-day P.T. Barnum. Put up the circus tent. Everybody comes to watch. And everybody will come to watch the Dallas Browns take on Justin Herbert and Bill Belichick facing the world. That's the way it's going to be. You mark my words, Belichick and Justin Herbert in Dallas next year. Let's go.
People mocked me when I said the last leaf will fall. The last leaf was called Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me like a wet paper sack from a glory hole.
Somebody else is in on the script. 913, Goff gets hurt week 13.
Okay.
Dan Campbell calls Tom Brady because Lions currently are 10-2. So he comes back to match Mahomes in the Super Bowl to stop the three-peat. But Mahomes comes out on top, gets his three-peat, gets Tom Brady back, solidified as the GOAT.
I like that script. I'm in on that.
Yeah, I love that.
I like it. I like the outside-the-box thinking. More of those, please.
You
more
can't tell
those.
Me Tom wouldn't come back if the right team called him.
That, how many times are we going to hear that storyline exactly. This year in the NFL? Right, the season is officially here. We had our first exhibition game yesterday. How many times are we going to hear a team rumored to be in contact with Tom Brady to lure him out of retirement over under? I'm going to set it 3.5.
Oh, boy.
How many teams
you're
going to take the under?
Under.
Because the Raiders are going to be a topic of conversation because he's got, you know, ties with them. He's allegedly buying part of the team or whatever the case may be. And by the way, shout out Antonio Pierce on this one. You see who he surrounded himself with, who's like working with him right now? Marvin Lewis and Tom Coughlin are like there at training camp with him. Like,
nice. I love that.
That's pretty effing cool, right? I didn't like to see Tom Coughlin in that Raider pullover the other day.
Rosacea Tom.
But, you know, if you want to be a great head coach, why not bring in a two-time Super Bowl winner? And Marvin Lewis won in Cincinnati when nobody could win there. That's a great twosome to have kind of mentoring you as you try to become a head coach. It's a brilliant move. Still don't have a quarterback. That's why I'm thinking you're going to hear Brady to the Raiders. Okay. It's going to happen. People are going to start that rumor. It's going to be a conversation. There's going to be a major injury in September to a quarterback. That team that has playoff aspirations will consider Tom Brady. So do we think we get four or more teams that will be rumored and tied to at some point in the time during the season to Tom Brady? That's what you have to think about when I set that over under a 3.5.
Bob Fesco talks about a great twosome. On the other side, we'll tell you about a great threesome. It's in baseball, and we get back into Kansas City Sports Radio because this is baseball town right now. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning. Damn glad to have you on a Friday, beautiful Friday.
It's Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on, man. Jeez.
Good Lord, man.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
Lisa's bringing in donut holes for everybody today in the office.
I love Lisa. She's single.
I don't know. I'll have to find out.
Yeah, dude.
Gary's already hitting on her, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn
yeah.
It, Gary. Damn it, Gary. Is that a bit for the football season? Damn it, Gary. Anytime you see some mishap. More people in on the script. If Kirk Cousins does really well, you have to wonder if the Raiders could pull off a trade with the Falcons for Michael Penix Jr.
Thank you, Miles, for that one. I do like it, and I will say no because I don't want the Raiders to get him. You know, a friend of mine is a Raider fan. I think we all know people that are Raider fans, right? Kramer, yeah. Right? But I'm not even talking about Kramer. I'm talking about Tammy from the Weston son-in-law, which shout out Tammy. So he's a Raider fan. We were talking at the draft at the landing at the draft party, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I guess it wasn't at the draft party. It was somewhere else. But anyway, shout out Landing in Liberty. He said to me, he goes, man, we were all ready for Michael Penix Jr. to be the quarterback for the Raiders. Like, everybody thought Michael Penix Jr. was going to the Raider. Raider fan was getting excited about it. And then Atlanta goes ahead and takes him and is like, what the hell did they just do? Oh, my God, that was our quarterback of the future, and you took him. And, yeah, if Kirk Cousins plays well, but what did the owner say something? Like, he's only on, like, a one-year deal or something like that. Like, the owner kind of spoke out of turn yesterday.
Right.
About that, so I don't think the Atlanta Falcons would trade Michael Penix Jr. because I do believe they drafted him for the reason of being the future quarterback, learning from Kirk Cousins for a year or two, and then taking over. I'm a huge Michael Penix Jr. fan. He reminds me so much of Warren Moon, not just because he's lefty and played at Washington, but, I mean, he's got a rifle on him, man. That guy can throw the ball all over the yard, and And Warren, if you ever watch Warren Moon play, I don't know, man, that guy's got one of the prettiest footballs I've ever seen thrown. Like, Warren could dot eyes all over the place, right? I love Michael Penix Jr. I think he's going to be a great football player in this league. The only problem is I just don't know when we're going to see Michael Penix Jr. because I don't know that it's only going to be a year, Dusty. I'm imagining at least 2 years for Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. But again, I could
see
be wrong.
How that leg holds up.
Yeah.
Coming off that Achilles injury later in his career. That's right. Why I think Michael Penix got drafted. Plus, there's a lot of weapons on that offense. A lot of weapons on that Atlanta offense.
Right.
Speaking of a lot of weapons, there was an article written, I believe, yesterday. And the way they describe this starting rotation, you don't have to overthink this one, they said. This group of pitchers has been solid all season. You don't need massively high K to nine strikeouts per nine innings or other statistics to prove that. This team has been highly efficient on the mound. All four of these pitchers deserve high praise for helping to catapult Kansas City to a playoff caliber ball club. And the rotation only got stronger recently with the addition of Michael Lorenzen. The best news for Kansas City is that this rotation will remain intact for multiple years should Michael Wacha opt into his player option next season. I believe he will.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else has multiple years via arbitration or pre-arb except for Lugo, who has next season and a player option for 2026. He ain't going anywhere.
Right.
Top of the rotation, number one is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Number two is the Philadelphia Phillies. And number three is your Kansas City Royals. They sit at the top in the American League in rotation. They are a top three in Major League Baseball. And it is all anchored by Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha. And now we mentioned Michael Lorenzen will step in as the fifth starter.
You say anchored there, right? And usually when somebody uses a term, it's anchored by. And then you listed four guys. and that's not a shot at you. That's a like, oh, my God. Mm. We have four legitimate guys in this rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, to me, when people talk about, is this a playoff team?
Yeah.
That's why they are a playoff team, Dusty, because they're anchored by literally everybody in their rotation. They just got a reinforcement. They went and took the weakest link out of their rotation. No offense, Alec Marsh, but he was the fifth starter. If you can improve your ball club, you go out there and you try to improve your ball club. Mm-hmm. They believe that they did that. But if the rotation keeps up doing what it's been doing for the better part of 100 plus games now, the Royals are going to be more than a playoff team. They're going to be a team that makes a run in October. How deep of a run? Well, it'll be as far as their starting pitching is going to take them. And that's what October baseball is all about. It's all about those four guys that you just mentioned there. When you can go out and dominate a game with your starting staff, you're putting yourself in position to have an opportunity to win in the postseason. It's not about Aaron Judge mashing home runs because those get diminished in the postseason. Games are close in the playoffs. They're 2-1 games, 3-2 type of games. Every pitch matters. And when you can roll out a starting rotation that has four, potentially five guys that the other team is scared of, that's a great thing. And what makes it even greater is in a three-game series, you're only going to need two of those starters. In a five-game series, you're only going to probably need two of those starters. In a seven-game series, you may need three of those starters, right? And so the guys that you don't have in your rotation now go to your bullpen, and it makes your bullpen even stronger. Like, this team is setting itself up to not just make the postseason, but I believe go on a nice run in the postseason because of that starting staff.
Right, and tonight it'll be Cole Reagans versus Skubal. As the Royals and Tigers will play again at 5:40, Vern's pregame show at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan's in that conversation. Seth Lugo sits the top with ERA 2.66, Brady Singer 2.88, Cole Reagans 3.37, and Michael Wacha a 3.57 ERA.
Remember plus that show from the 80s, 3.37 with Jack A? It was great.
That was my GPA in college, though.
Oh, wow.
Deep list.
I had a 2.
But no, that's the best part about this is that we go back to yesterday's conversation about how Brett Veach always tries to patch up. J.J. Piccolo did exactly that. And MLB Network and a lot of people, you know, Vern, yourself, a lot of people included, said this bullpen or this rotation is far and away better than last year and will be 10 to 15 wins better. Well, we were all underestimated that because they're more than that. They're going to be like 25 games better. And not only that, they revamped that bullpen, right? Mm-hmm. They got a couple pieces that can come in here and kind of patch things up. You still have Chris Bubich in that rotation. I believe Alec Marsh got sent down to kind of figure out a new role, how to be like, hey, you don't have to throw it 93, 94. Now you can hum it at 98, 99 because you're only going one inning. So you patch that up. Plus you look at this lineup that has three guys that are hitting 2, 3, and 4 with 70 or more RBI in the lineup. Sal Perez.
RBI.
Yeah. Sal Perez has almost got, you know, a 280 average. Vinny Pasquantino is starting to lift the ball. A 2-run homer night last night. Called game in the first inning.
Yep.
You and him both did. And then you talk about anchors. Then you've got the hottest hitter in baseball who's hitting 350 and cannot get out for to save his life. Only struck out once in his last 24 at bats. You put all that together in the recipe poll, and it's like we talked to Doug Glanville, what was that, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
And he said, how much do you not want to play the Royals in the playoffs? I don't want to play them at all. You got a pitching rotation that can lock it up every single night if they need to. Lugo goes 8 innings. Singer went 7. Now you get Cole Reagans, who's supposed to be the ace. And you just keep winning when you're supposed to keep winning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And how do you do that?
Dominant pitching. Bats show up when they need to. And that keeps going. This team's going to have a fun August.
You know, tonight, okay, 5:40, you mentioned Scooble versus
Cole Reagans
tonight, right? Are you more interested in watching Reagans take on Detroit hitters or watching our hitters go after Scooble? Because for me, I'm more interested to see what our hitters can do against a bona fide Cy Young ace and see how they go up there and beat the snot out of this guy. I think Cole Reagans is going to be fine. I don't think we can learn a lot about Cole Reagans tonight because I think Cole Reagans is going to go out there and dominate. It's the Tigers, and especially if the Royals get an early lead. But I'm interested to see what the Royals do against a bona fide ace tonight. Tonight's a big test for the Royals' bats. If they go make Tarik Skubal look like Skubal Tarik or whatever, or Tarik and Christina from the coast, I think that's a great sign. So I'm hoping for tonight that our hitters go up there and absolutely take a licking to Tarik Skubal and go out there and act like he's nobody special.
We talk about Bobby Witt and Aaron Judge in the MVP race. If Tarik Skubal gets lit up by the Royals tonight and then Monday Brady Singer hoses down the Red Sox.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be talking.
And I mean, if Lugo keeps doing what he's doing and the text line mentioned it, you have two pitchers that could honestly be in a conversation for Cy Young.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the Royals are doing exactly what they're doing.
Right.
Olympic talk comes up next. If you don't want any spoilers, listen anyway. Atkins, Mac Morey, we get up to a GOAT discussion when it comes to two female Olympian athletes. We'll talk about it next on the other side on 610 Sports Radio.
Aha!
There you go. This always reminds me of the movie Corky Romano. You guys want some cookies? I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Chris Kattan?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
No. Sorry, man.
Is it good?
I mean, it's just one of those Saturday Night Live. No.
It doesn't sound like I'm going to race to the TV for that one.
I thought it was funny.
This song reminds me of its video.
Yeah.
Yesterday was NBC, MTV's 43rd anniversary of launching back when they played, music. Video Killed the Radio Star, obviously, was the first video played on MTV. Yeah. But this is a great video. What?
The Buggles? Video Killed the Radio Star?
Is it the Bugles?
Something like that.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know who the hell sang that song.
I think I'm right.
I figured it was like Roxette or something.
Asia?
No, it's not Asia.
It's not Asia.
That song's great, though, by Asia.
Which one?
I don't know. The one that's in 40-year-old version. Their most popular one.
The Buggles.
The Buggles. That's a good pull by you.
Nice.
And I watched the video yesterday, and I don't even remember that. The Buggles. You could have given me $10 billion and said, who are the Buggles? I would have said, I don't know, some creep group that came before the Wiggles. Like, I don't know.
A great chip. Bugles.
The Buggles. It is a great chip. I like putting them on my fingers.
You're a child, Bob. Eat your food. Don't play with it.
Better food for your fingers. Extra large black olives or Bugles?
Bugles.
Bugles.
I felt like a witch.
Yeah.
That was in my witch era. So the Olympics have been kind of entertaining. I mean, right now on the TV, unfortunately for Bob, I have golf on cause I have to keep it on there.
Yeah. Put on the track. Mm-mm. Why? You don't want to give the spoiler alert. Is Tiger playing?
No.
Then
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Who's playing? If Tiger's not playing in the Olympics, is it really Olympic golf?
Yes, because he's not nearly one of the best 50 players in the world.
Now you bite your tongue. Tiger will always be the greatest.
Did you watch him in this year's tournaments?
Well, it doesn't matter what he's doing now, Dusty. It's about the memories that you have of him.
Yeah, heat of the moment from the 913 by Asia.
Yeah, heat of the moment. But also what was redone by Weezer.
Why do they keep redoing it?
Oh, that was The Rains
song.
Down in Africa. They did a whole, you didn't Toto. Like that album? Oh, that was Toto.
Yeah.
You didn't like that?
I haven't liked Weezer's albums since the Green album.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this last one where they did all remakes was outstanding.
Pinkerton, Blue album, Green album, done with Weezer.
Do you like the Sweater song by Weezer?
Yeah, it's on the Blue album.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite of theirs, the Blue.
Yeah, the Blue album's the best.
Yeah.
Green album, a little too poppy. Blue album, perfect. Either way, you're not here to listen to music takes. You're here to listen to sports takes. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. We'll have a debate here in a second, but we're also... kind of watching some characters come to life in Paris, right? Who would have had on your Olympic bingo card that the mascot for the United States would be Snoop Dogg?
I'm
still trying
to get
one of those like magnets or whatever, the medals that have been blowing the Olympic rings.
Unbelievable.
I want to put it on my golf bag so bad. Text line, let me know where I can find that.
That's one you're not going to find.
It's got to be out there.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those things like a bottle of Blanton's where they're going to sell it for $1,800 and that's the only way you're going to be able to acquire it, right?
Yeah. But Flavor Flav,
mm-hmm.
like, didn't see his name popping up. Flavor Flav wants to help a Paris Olympian who has a rent problem.
Right.
And now he's going from being kicked out of Public Enemy,
mm-hmm.
being past the Flavor of Love show, shout out New York, and now is doing the Lord's work and helping people out with rent problems. The Olympian, Vanderbilt's Veronica Fraley, has a problem ahead of her in the Olympics debut of the women's discus throw, and Flavor Flav wants to be a part of the solution. The 2004 NCAA discus champion tweeted Thursday, less than 24 hours before she's set to compete in the discus qualification round at the Stade de France, that she can't pay her rent back in Nashville. She has also took a shot at the Vanderbilt football team.
Well,
in the
that's low hanging fruit. Yeah. I mean, when was the last time Vanderbilt had anything with a football team?
Jay Cutler. I compete in the Olympic Games tomorrow and I can't even pay my rent. Fairley wrote on X. My school only sent about 75% of my rent while they pay football players who haven't won anything enough to buy new cars and houses. Enter Flavor Flav, rapper, reality TV star.
But I hate to break the news to her. Like, I don't want to get real here for a second, but I'm going to get real here for a second. The football team is what makes the money. Like, that people go, even if it is Vanderbilt and they stink, and usually
they're
it's
terrible.
Baseball in Vanderbilt, right? people aren't plunking down the dough to go watch the discus. They just aren't. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but this is not an equity situation that we're in. What do you bring to the table? You will be paid accordingly.
But Flavor Flav looks like he's going to help out this young athlete and make sure she can compete in the Olympics worry-free. You love to see it. Things you love to see. The opposite of what we used to do on After Hours. Thanks for listening. The opposite of what a Richard of the Week would be.
Yeah. What would be a opposite of the Richard? Richardette?
No. Dave?
Dave? All right, fine. So Flavor Flav is going to pay her rent, which I think is just tremendous, right?
It's like awesome.
That's where you win, right? That's where you win. That's where you become a superstar. That's where the American public kind of falls back in love with you. I think that's really cool that he's doing that. He's basically like, you go compete. You don't worry about your rent. Could you imagine being an Olympic athlete and thinking to yourself, I got to pay my rent, and I don't have the money to pay my rent, and I got to go out here on the biggest stage of my life, something that I've been working my entire life for, and they're getting ready to put my stuff on the front lawn because I can't make rent. And so I don't blame her for tweeting about it. She has to understand, though, that football's a little bit different beast now in college than other sports, and guys in football are going to get paid because that is the cash cow, and that's where the money comes from.
That would tick you off, though, right?
Yeah, of course it
would.
You're
good. These guys are winning one game a year.
But what would tick you off even more is if you're a player on one of these teams and you're not getting paid and everybody else is getting paid. Like that, that's where I think ultimately this thing is going to come crashing down, where you Mac the quarterback, you Dusty the wide receiver, you're making money, me the offensive lineman, I'm not getting anything NIL related, and you guys are all walking around with dough and I can't, and I'm not making any money, right? Like, I think that's where the thing starts to fall apart. But anyway, that's another topic for another day. So Flavor Flav stepped up, man. Like, kudos to that guy for stepping up and going, I got this for you, man. Hey, kid, you go out there, you throw that thing as far as you can. We got all this stuff behind the scenes taken care of. That's what a hero is, man. We talk about heroes and things like that. This guy taking that off her plate so she can go compete and actually live out her dream and not work all this time to go to Paris to stink because she's worried about something back home. That's a cool move by Flavor Flav, man.
Yeah, boy. Texline gets it. He's a William for helping pay the bill.
Yeah. That's good, yeah.
But the debate we can have, and I think this is great because I got buddies that I play golf with. I have buddies that I work with at the other job, and they've all got daughters. You have two daughters. Yeah. I don't know how invested they are in the Olympics.
Zero.
But
everybody thinks like now the girls are going to be watching it. They don't pay attention unless it's on Snapchat.
But there is kind of a debate of who's the best female Olympian athlete of all time. Is it Katie Ledecky? Or is it Simone Biles?
So Katie Ledecky has the most medals, right, of any female Olympian or any Olympian, I guess, right now, right? So to me, it's Katie Ledecky. I mean, you know, you can obviously make the case for Simone Biles, and nobody would argue with you. But I mean, if we're really getting down to it, like Katie Ledecky is the one who just absolutely dominates her competition, and she's doing it at so many different levels. And she's like 28 now, and she just continues to come back for more. And I think swimming, in my opinion, is a much harder sport to do than gymnastics once you get older, because you know you slow down a little bit, right? You're slowing down. You're going against competition. The gymnastics stuff, I know they have some team stuff, but the gymnastics stuff is you versus you. It's not you versus seven others, right? Where you're kind of concerned about what the others are going to do, but you can't worry about what the others are going to do. You have to focus on you, and it's you versus you in gymnastics. In swimming, it's not you versus you. It's you versus the field, and you're worried about seven other swimmers that are fighting against you, and you're holding all of those folks off for, what, three Olympics now or whatever she's been in? So to me, it's Katie Ledecky.
Yeah, I mean, what Simone Biles does, I don't think we take into account because we just would never do it or never pay attention to it unless it's the Olympics. But the fact that she's 27, still doing this, they call her the grandmother of the Olympic team, which is hilarious.
At 27? My God, and I wish I was 27 again.
I was at the side job yesterday. We had it on one of the TVs in the kitchen, and my manager's like zoned in. Like, this is her, like, this is her mecca. Like, she only watches this part of the Olympics. And I was like, it's kind of crazy how they're judged, like with just the minorest of faults, right? Like I was watching the, what is it, the cow bar or whatever, where they have the two handles, they swing around it or whatever. And they were like knocking them for points because their heels were too far over because it affects the balance and that's how they get judged. I don't know if I have an answer to this question. I think the answer is just simply yes. I mean, the way that when Simone Biles went out there, and I didn't have volume on the TV, I was reading the captions, and after she was done with her floor routine, it just said, that should do it, should be over, that's going to be it. And it was, and they won the gold, and they did it again. And then you watch Ledecky do it. And if you judge it by how much they win by or how dominant they are, Katie Ledecky lapped the competition not once, but twice.
That's unbelievable.
And probably the toughest swimming feat there is. It's a 1,500 free, right? It's just a long-distance swim. And normally, if you're beating your competition by that, that means you're getting out to a heavy endurance start and you're not stopping. And I think Katie Ledecky and I think Simone Biles both carry the same sort of thing. That is, when they show up to the competition, everybody in the room, fan, athlete, coach, trainer, whatever, knows that person's in there, and they know who's going to win, and you have to be damn near perfect to do it.
And when they show up to a competition, I mean, obviously athletes don't think this way, but like, don't you just start to think to yourself, like, how do I get second? How do I get the silver in this? Because nobody's beating Katie Ledecky. Very few people are going to beat Simone Biles. Again, as Miles pointed out on the text lines, like, we're allowing judges in gymnastics, so there could be a biased judge too, right? Like, there's no biasness in swimming because you win. It's pretty simple, right? What if there is a biased judge out there who wants to knock Simone Biles because he or she is tired of her always winning, or it's a Russian judge, or, you know, we had those controversies back in the day, right? That's a thing that does factor in. Personal biases do factor in. And if you're a judge in whatever sport it is, and you may not like that person, or you've had beef with that person, you're probably going to be a little bit more critical, and your personal biases come in. In swimming, there are no judges. There are no personal biases. It's just you versus everybody else, and it's clear you can see who the winner is.
Fesco of the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We always do this with every athlete. A text line question came in last night about your very truly own Bobby Witt Jr., what the comparison is and what we think it could be. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens here for you on a Friday as we grind through your last day of the week, or the Fri-yay of the week.
Fri-yay!
There you go. Spirit fingers are alive for Bob Fesco. Buddy of mine, Michael, sent me a text, said that Flavor Flav also emerges as the USA Women's Water Polo sponsor.
Yeah, yeah, so he is. He's been at every one of those, yeah. The
guy's on the come up.
Yep, he's on the come.
On the come.
I can't believe you've never heard that expression before.
It's because it doesn't exist.
Oh, it absolutely does. Look it up.
I did, and my phone literally went to like XNXX.
Go to Google.com.
Okay.
Does your computer have Google?
I'm not searching that in the work computer.
And go for it. Worse have been searched.
I'm sure.
Mayor Binkley used to use that computer. Let me check out the difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3.
Anyways, text line came in from the 913.
Yeah, this was from the other day. I guess it came in during Vern's show, I would imagine.
I'm sure. I don't know if Vern addressed it. I would doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think Vern has the patience for this one.
No.
But I do.
Yeah, and so do we. And that's what we're here for. From the 913, said Bobby Witt could possibly be the Derek Jeter of his generation, in my opinion. Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter. Number two. Derek Jeter.
We can dive into this because, of course, I see this in the rundown. I'm like, okay, who are the best shortstop of all time? So I'll let you cook first because I have my opinions. I know Cody Tapp, speaking of Cody Tapp and Alex Gold, they'll have Trent McDuffie on their show today.
Big win.
As they're up in St. Joe. So Trent McDuffie will join the boys from 10 to 2 in St. Joe. Alex and Cody, be sure you're listening to that.
Derek Jeter's an interesting case study in shortstops to me because I didn't think he was the best of his era, but the guy's a winner, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's two different conversations. Is Derek Jeter the best shortstop I've ever seen play the game? The answer to that question is no. Is Derek Jeter one of the winningest athletes that I've ever seen play? The answer is yes. That guy knew how to be in position, knew where to be, knew how to win, right? Like, he just had the it factor, right? Mm-hmm. He oozed it all over the place. And so when I look at Derek Jeter, I'm like, that guy's a winner. That guy knows where to be. That guy has instincts. But he wasn't even the best shortstop on his team for a while. It was Alex Rodriguez that was still the best shortstop on his team. I think if Bobby Witt is the next quote-unquote Derek Jeter, I think that's a disappointment for Bobby Witt because I think Bobby Witt as a baseball player is better than Derek Jeter. The only Jeter comparison that I want from Bobby Witt right now are rings. And if Bobby Witt can get the same amount of rings, five, as Derek Jeter has, then yes, let's call him the next Derek Jeter. But if Bobby Witt finishes with these career numbers, 310 batting average, 260 home runs, and just shy of 3,500 hits, I think we'd be like going, nah, we could have probably had more out of Bobby Witt, especially based on what this season is like. I think Bobby Witt Jr. will be a better baseball player than Derek Jeter was, but I don't know how many people are going to be able to be a better instinctual player and a better winner than Derek Jeter was.
Yeah, when you look at comparisons, or you look at the top shortstops of all time, I think Honus Wagner was number one, so okay. I'm sure competition was really fierce back
right.
then. Whatever. Number two, I believe, was Alex Rodriguez. Number three was Cal Ripken Jr. And that is where I compare Bobby Witt Jr. to what he could potentially be. Cal Ripken Jr., no lie, was probably my favorite baseball player growing up. Might be a top two baseball player of all time. It was okay. Kevin King Griffey Jr. That's all I cared about as a kid. And if you look at what Cal did early, like Cal's a power hitter when he was younger. Like he was in the home run derby and won it. He won a World Series, I believe, in his first year he's in the major leagues.
But that was it.
And then that was it. And then, you know, but what did Cal Ripken do? He played with the Baltimore Orioles his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up being a 3,000 hit hitter, hit over 300 home runs, Hall of Famer. But the other thing that Cal Ripken did, that there are similarities in Bobby Witt Jr.'s game, is Cal Ripken was the Iron Man. He obviously has a record that will never be broken, the consecutive game streak. And Bobby Witt Jr. has shown this year that he kind of has a little bit of that mixed bag, right? Like, and I could also see it. Bobby Witt Jr., the older he gets, he will eventually move to third. I don't know if Bobby Witt Jr. is going to play in Kansas City for his whole life, but I know he's going to be here for seven more years. I know that Bobby Witt Jr., it's probably for, I bet Matt Quatrero's toughest job is to even try to think about giving him a day off,
which
right now I wouldn't even talk to him. You're hitting second, you're playing short, have fun.
Right.
That's all you need to know. But Jeter's interesting because Jeter wasn't really that sort of five-tool player. Neither was Cal. But Jeter was clutch. Jeter came up with big hits. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he coined the name Mr. November, right?
Right.
And he was a captain. Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr. will eventually be a captain of this team. Sal will give him the C.
There wasn't anybody more clutch in sports in our era right now than Derek Jeter was.
And that's a fair point.
Yeah.
And Jeter also played his position very well.
Mm-hmm.
So did Cal Ripken. Onward we go. But at this rate, at least in my opinion, Bobby Witt Jr. will be considered better than Derek Jeter by 2027. And I don't mean that from a career standpoint, but I do this with the Bobby Witt Jr. and Mahomes kind of back and forth. Now, Mahomes is considered probably the third best quarterback because of the rings and the talent that we've already seen for 6.5 years.
Right. And if we're basing it on rings, then that's fine. He can be number three.
And he surpassed a lot of legends last year. I mean, we're talking Peyton Manning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Drew Brees. All these guys have been passed, which you'd think to yourself, already? And Bobby Witt Jr. is doing something this year where it's like, okay, what if he doesn't ever do this again? But what if every year after this he hits 325, 30 home runs, 100 RBI, 25, 30 doubles, 10 to 12 triples, and does that year in and year out, all of a sudden people be like, technically he doesn't have the career accolades, but he's the best baseball. He's better player than Derek Jeter was.
Mm-hmm.
Because Derek Jeter, clutch hits, 300 hitter, power wasn't really there, speed wasn't really there, defense was way above average, not great, but it was above average and he had the coin throw or whatever. Now, what we see with Bobby Witt Jr. is that at such a young age, that he's already getting ready to emerge as one of those better shortstops. And he's doing it in a clean environment. Mm-hmm. So take A-Rod, whatever you want to do. I know A-Rod's on that list as a top five shortstop of all time, but A-Rod was dirty. Bobby Witt Jr. that we know of is a clean, level-headed, tough, everyday player. And a lot of those similarities give me Cal Ripken vibes.
Yeah, I don't hate that comparison at all. I think if he finishes his career with one team, yes, then you can put him in that Jeter, Cal Ripken category. I think we all want Bobby Witt Jr. or we all want that one guy to finish their entire career with one team, right? Salvi, George Brett, Alex Gordon, you know, Bobby Witt. I think that's your Mount Rushmore of Kansas City Royals right now, right? And I do think Bobby Witt is on that Mount Rushmore of Kansas City Royals right now. I think he is. Yeah. I mean, look, come on. do it. Do I really need to plead that case right now?
I mean, like, I was just reassuring.
I mean, like, he's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really is. And I'm ready to put him up there. Like, sometimes we jump to conclusions on players, right, where we get so excited based on a small sample size. This is not a small sample size with Bobby Witt Jr. This is who he is as a player, very much like Patrick Mahomes. Like, we can sit here and wait around and people will say, I don't know about Patrick Mahomes quite yet. We know what we're watching, right? We're watching Patrick Mahomes. He's the greatest quarterback probably of all time. We're watching Bobby Witt Jr. He's one of the top four greatest Royals of all time. Granted, there haven't been a lot of great Royals out there, but Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the best that I've ever seen play this game in a Royals uniform. Him, Salvi, Alex George, like, that's your Mount Rushmore right now. And so if he finishes his career here in Kansas City, he'll be even more legendary than he is right now. And so Cal Ripken Jr., I do love that comparison. I think that is a really good comparison from a, there's not a lot of pressure on you, because I never felt like Cal was living the pressure until it got to the end of the streak and Kevin Costner had to turn the lights out or something happened. But I think what we're looking at with Bobby Witt Jr. is a guy that is going to be consistently good is an understatement. He's going to be exceptionally good for a good decade in this league, probably a little bit more than a good decade. And the only comparison, like I said, to Derek Jeter that I want to see are the rings, and that's where the Cal Ripken thing comes in. I want to see him do better than Cal Ripken Jr. with one ring, because if Bobby is this good and he only wins one championship, we're going to be like, oh man, I wanted more. Can he be the first Royal to win? Well, I guess if they win this year, Salvi becomes the first Royal to win multiple championships, right? But can he be the first Royal to really be the catalyst in an organization winning more than just one World Series?
Somebody on the text from 913, Bobby Witt is as tough as Cal Ripken and as cool as Ken Griffey Jr. Solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got that cool vibe. I mean, yeah, we saw that on the stage. Not to get morbid, but sometimes you have to break the barriers. Got a sad one today, boys, from the 816. I have to put my dog down this afternoon. Man. But you guys are always a great distraction from life. Thank you for always being there for us when we need a break from life. You're very welcome. Yeah. I'm sorry about your day. There's nothing worse in the world than having to put a dog down. Yeah. So I know your pain. I remember, it's not supposed to be humorous, but I remember my mom, we had our first dog, and she was like, do you want to come with us to the vet and put Bandit down? I was like, absolutely not.
No.
She came home, dude. Tears. Yeah, you could see still on her face. Sure. She goes, that's the worst thing I've been. I'm like, that's why I didn't go.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see that. So, prayers to you, man. That's a tough day, but we're here to have to give you a good distraction. So just let us know that we'll let you know that we're with you today, and we will continue to help you out in a distraction of life. So you know, sometimes it's okay to be nice to people.
I was, you know, when we got the dog, I was kind of like, I don't know, it's going to be a lot of work, blah blah blah. And I am so glad.
Love with that sucker.
It's my dog. that is my dog, right? Yeah. And everybody knows it. She loves me the most. I love her the most, and it's the two of us. And we, I mean, it is a match made in heaven, right? And she knows when I'm feeling down. Oh, like, yeah. There's nothing better. Like, dogs know,
they
right?
They definitely know.
And I'll be kind of feeling down a little bit. She'll come saddle up next to me, put her face against mine, and press me into the couch and won't let me get up until I've calmed down. Like, she knows how to calm me down. It's like a great stress reliever. She's wonderful. I don't know where I would be without this dog. I do feel bad for her, though, because we got her right before COVID. So her first year, she thought, like, everybody just hung out all day. And was here, and then life kind of picked up again, and she's like, where the hell did everybody
go? Where are you guys going?
Why is everybody gone all the time now?
Right. Yeah, there's a reason why they're considered man's best friend. They should be called people's best friend.
Yeah,
it's true.
And, like, if you don't like dogs, I kind of got a problem with you. Like, if you're allergic,
you,
that's one thing.
Of course.
But if you're just somebody who just, I don't like dogs, why?
Yeah, that's sus, for
why?
Sure. Yeah.
I was gonna date a girl, and she came over, and one of my buddy's dogs was there, and she's like, oh, dogs, I don't really like them. And she owns cats, and I was like, red flag, see you later.
Out. Done. Yeah, my fiance just got a golden retriever puppy.
After you left?
Right after I left. Yeah,
you ain't going back.
Oh, boy. Well, you need comforting. Dogs are good with that. But so are we here on Fesco in the Morning, which is 610 Sports Radio. It's KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey State.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.